In the dawning of April 2016, the outline of the GOP race is now merging. The previous day's spectacle of voterless primaries where the always smug and superior Ted Cruz swept up votes like so much fallen candy off the sweet shop floor is over. The hard-hitting reality of insulting the mores of one of America's most populous states has sunk in, and it was a disaster for Ted. To hold oneself above a set of ideas is one thing, to attempt to lord over an entire population another, especially in the world's greatest city. New York, New York. Increasingly, the arguments against Trump have fallen by the wayside. Likewise, his naysayers, tormentors, and attackers have also fallen in a manner hardly ever seen, the latest being Debbie Strawberry Fields, whose lies about being attacked by Trump's campaign manager were revealed by the tape and her charges rejected by the police, and now she files a vanity lawsuit against the Donald. Whatever the future holds in the GOP would appear not to include Kasich, and has little promise for Mr. Inside-Outside Baseball Cruz, who claims to be everything in this election except honest and likable. Meanwhile, in the Dem camp, forces are coalescing around Hillary, who also won. Like last week's leftovers, Hillary may be hardly toothsome, in fact, barely palatable, yet she still retains the status of the only dish in town. Who will win now that New York is fading in the rearview mirror? Stay tuned, sports fans. Good morning. Yes, Trump, he really kicked some butt. There's no doubt about it. And so he won in the 60s, and that should get him somewhere between 90 and 95 delegates. So as many delegates as Ted Cruz steals or lures away, it's not really going to matter if Trump wins like this. And it could still be a broken convention, a brokered convention. But you know, on the other hand, if it's brokered, then you have to say that Trump still has a chance of coming in and winning it. So, you know, I mean, this win in New York shows that he's got a lot of strength back east, and nobody can really write him off as they have done repeatedly. Now, I have got a little bit of a clip for you from him saying that Cruz is almost mathematically eliminated, which will depress the Donnas of the world who see a prophet arising in Ted Cruz. Check this out.
And you know what? The people of this country and the people of this state truly are great and amazing people. We are going to be so strong again. We are going to be really, I mean, legitimate.
All right, so I had two clips running there. Here is your don't let the door hit you in the butt Ted Cruz speech, and then I'll have something for you from CNN, which was just playing.
That know me the best, the people of New York, when they give us this kind of a vote, and it's just incredible. And I guess we're close to 70%, and we're going to end at a very high level. This has been an amazing week all over New York State. We went to Syracuse. We went to Albany. 20,000 people. I mean, on average, we'd have 15 to 20,000 people. We went to Rochester. We went to Bethpage. We went all over. And you know what? The people of this country and the people of this state truly are great and amazing people. We are going to be so strong again. We are going to be really, I mean, legitimately so great again, and I just can't wait. So, we don't have much of a race anymore based on what I'm seeing on television. Senator Cruz is just about mathematically eliminated. And we've won another state. As you know, we have won millions of more votes than Senator Cruz, millions and millions of more votes than Governor Kasich. We've won, and now, especially after tonight, close to 300 than Senator Cruz. We're really, really rocking. We expect we're going to have an amazing number of weeks because these are places and they're in trouble. They're in big trouble.
All right. So that's that. And here is your little clip from CNN on this. Trump wins New York primary. Well, actually, we don't need to get into that twice. Let me find something for you from what's her face? Hillary Clinton. That's somebody you don't want to look at before breakfast. But I think that, you know, she had the perfect person to run against, and she almost is still losing to him. Sanders. Sanders is just, he's not really competitive. I mean, how competitive? The country is failing economically, and, you know, you're running as a socialist. But anyway, I have a little clip here from her. You know, I think a race against Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump would be very exciting, very interesting, very colorful. And I couldn't get enough of it. All right, here is Hillary Trump, Hillary Clinton trumpeting her win on CNN.
Today, you proved once again there's no place like home. You know, in this campaign, we've won in every region of the country. From the north to the south to the east to the west, but this one's personal. New Yorkers, you've always had my back. And I've always tried to have yours. Today, together, we did it again, and I am deeply, deeply grateful. I want to thank everyone who came out and voted. And to all of you across New York who've known me and worked with me for so long, it's humbling that you trust me with the awesome responsibilities that await our next president. And
it's actually crazy they would do that.
And to all the people who supported Senator Sanders, I believe there is much more that unites us than divides us.
Like Karl Marx. All right, let's check this out. Take a little break here. Congratulations, Hillary. I really hope Trump gets in there so he can really kick her in the teeth rhetorically. But Cruz, you know, Cruz has got his good points, many of which are not obvious on the surface, but here we go. Take a little break here. Alicia Keys, Empire State of Mind. We'll be right back. AM Las Cruces, 1450 KOB. Great news, fantastic news. Mark D'Antonio is coming on the show today, and he is not happy, and I believe is going to come on and claim that he was misquoted, or he was facts about him were misstated, and not happy with Walt Rubel and not happy with me, which was for what was said on the show yesterday. So we're going to have him at 7 o'clock, and it should be a feisty hour. 6:15 Kelly O'Connor, 1450 KLBE, 523 1450, and 805 6180 to text. And we've got on the 20th of April, and let me get your temperature here, 62 degrees, not too bad outside. We'll be right back to carry on a little bit with the debacle for Cruz in New York and General Sanders. And also we'll come back. Today's Weird Wednesday. I've got interesting stuff on the Church of Satan. We'll be right back. All right, so it's 6:20, and we've got a big win, big, fat, juicy win in New York. And so for the moment anyway, Donald Trump is atop of the food chain. And I've got some analysis here for you. From CNN, Trump wins big. Now what? I think Sanders is pretty much eliminated. He's been eliminated in my mind for a long time. But I think that Ted Cruz is getting close to being eliminated. But that doesn't bring to Donald Trump of 1,200 delegates. One of the members committee, one of the rules committee from the GOP. Leadership said if he gets to 1,100, how do you stop him? So anyway, here's a little analysis from Wolf Schnitzer and John King, whatever.
You heard Donald Trump say that for Senator Ted Cruz, it's almost mathematically now impossible that for him to get 1,237 on that first ballot. Does he have a point?
Yes, he does. So let's go over to the delegate map. We can show you that. Ted Cruz has to win in the 90% of what's left. It's just inconceivable. I'm going to give you this here. Let's say Donald Trump, I'm going to give him all 95. It might be closer to 90, but let's give him 95 for now and see where that would put Donald Trump out here around 850. You see, Ted Cruz is on track to get a goose egg tonight. That's 95 delegates, and he's going to get none of them, which leaves him back here. And then if you project forward to April, I just went through the rest of April, this is giving Donald Trump 75% of the delegates next Tuesday night. Where, let's see if Ted Cruz can pick some up in Pennsylvania. Let's see if he can find a way to pick some up in Maryland. But at the moment, Donald Trump, and we assume he gets momentum out of the big New York win. He was already leading in all these other states for next Tuesday. Then Donald Trump is out here past the 75% mark. Ted Cruz, even if he picks up a few, is still way back here. It is mathematically near impossible. There's about that much of a chance. You know, you could just put a piece of paper through the possibility of Ted Cruz getting there. It's just not going to happen. It's not going to happen. That's assuming Ted Cruz gets 90% in California. And yeah, he's done well out in the West here. But it's just Ted Cruz knows this, and you've heard it from him in recent days. His only chance is at a contested convention. The challenge now is to keep Donald Trump with a big win tonight, potential for another big wins plural.
Five states next
week.
Tuesday.
Right. There's a possibility. If you look at this out here, 955, there's a possibility that Donald Trump is even closer to 960, somewhere in that ballpark, about the end of April. Then there are 502 delegates left.
How does he get to 1,237? That's the number he needs on the first ballot in Cleveland to avoid some sort of contested
convention. So let's just put this out a little bit, put this race all the way out to June. This assumes Donald Trump, New Jersey, winner take all. Donald Trump wins in West Virginia. Ted Cruz continues his success out here in the West, right? So this scenario gives Indiana to Cruz. Watch this and pay attention to that as we go. If you go out here now and Donald Trump can win 70% in California, that's a tough test. But if he can win big in New York tonight, if he gets momentum, they say he's going to spend TV money out in California. If he did that, would I get him? I just got him to 12. Now, this is being very generous to Trump in winning the delegates here on pace like he looks like tonight, 70% in California. That would get him to 12-11. So can you get him? Well, can he do Indiana instead of having Ted Cruz win Indiana? That gets you up to 12-22. Pick Washington or Oregon. Let's say he can somehow come back, win Washington instead of Ted Cruz. Unlikely, a conservative base state there, but that gets him to 12-36.
Wow.
If you see that math right there. But look, scenario. But just think of where we are. Now we're trying to see if he upset in this state, we'll do a little better in that state. But it's not hard. It's not hard. The best way to put this is it's not hard to get Donald Trump to 1210. It's not that inconceivable to get Donald Trump above 1175 and to 1200. And in a best case scenario, to get Donald Trump either just over 1237 or so close to it. If he's at 1225 and you arrive at Cleveland, it would be near impossible to see the Republican Party. And remember, that would be after June 7th. They would have time before the convention. If he's at 1220 or even 1175, then you go back to the 54 non-committed delegates in Pennsylvania. You just say, hey, I won your state with 50%, 50% plus. You got to come to me. You go to the unbound delegates from Guam, American Samoa, the Virgin Islands. You try to lobby Marco Rubio delegates. Maybe you try to cut a deal. Where Donald Trump is on June 7th, you then have time before the convention. And if he's above 1,200, above 1,175, you would assume the guy who wrote the art of the deal would try to make some deals.
All right, so that's your analysis there. It's going to be close. The exciting thing is it's going to be close, and I'm not going to sit here and say it doesn't matter who wins. But, you know, the strange thing is they say Kasich has the best chance against Hillary, but I think Trump in an actual race would have a better chance against Hillary because he's going to pound her. The people that hate Hillary hate her, and those people are going to be so jazzed to hear Trump go after all the things that they can't stand about Hillary, all the lies, all the cover-ups, all of the excuses. And it's just going to get to the point where I think it's going to build a frisson or a real level of excitement. And it's going to, I don't know, I just think it's going to kind of build on itself just like he did in the race for the GOP. I don't think it's going to be that much different because deep down, trust Hillary, they don't like her. They believe she was delivered to her Senate and her Secretary of State positions by her husband. And so if that's the argument, then she's another entitled person in America that it goes around acting like she earned everything on her own. And and Hillary is not going to be able to play the aggrieved female card if she was part of the task of down all of these women that claim to be have been abused and had affairs with Bill Clinton and then were attacked for it. And the women that were intimidated into think about this. You might say there's two groups of women out there that had affairs with Bill Clinton or had sexual contact with Bill Clinton. The ones that were happy to do it and then the ones that he attacked or he grew when they were not interested. But there is undoubtedly a third category of women, and it might be a fairly large one, women who were afraid to say no because of his power and his ferocity. And apparently he was from what I've read anyway, a very ferocious person when he was going after women. Now, he's completely haired. His voice is hoarse all the time. He goes off message regularly. So, you know, I don't know. It's, he would be a fascinating person to watch during this, but he's lost a lot of the oomph that he used to have. But in any event, we've still got a horse race on our hands. And all right, so let us take a little break here, and I'm going to come back with some weird news for you as well. Trying to see whatever other analysis you want. Here is from Joe Scarborough to Megyn Kelly. Call Glenn Beck before you leave Fox News. I thought that was a pretty good statement. Megyn Kelly has said that Fox News has not defended her against the Trump. And so she's thinking of leaving, but I don't think she's going to find the same level of success that, Glenn Beck is talking wind right now. Pardon me, having a Bill Clinton voice break there. All right, we'll take a little break here. 6:29 to come back and see if there's any more political stuff to squeeze out. But I got some weird news for you, including the Satanic Temple and the rise of atheistic Satanism in the country. and also a haunted house that was the foundation of the book written by Robert Benchley that later became The Exorcist. We're going to have Mark D'Antonio, a very unhappy Mark D'Antonio, a Mark D'Antonio that did a No Call No Show last Friday. He's going to be coming at 7, and he's not happy. He's not happy with what he heard was said. So anyway, 6:30, and we'll be right back. AM Los Cruces, 1450, KOBE, 523, 1450, and 856-180. All right, I've got a little more analysis here for you. John Podoretz, who has comes from a family that is at the very foundation of conservative Jewish intellectualism in New York, and a very, very influential family. And his parents both are both intellectual writers. I think his mom's still alive. Midge Dechter. Her name. Who'd name their kid Midge? Unless it was a very tiny baby, and then it would be justified. This is my child, Midge. I hope she grows into a larva. Anyway, here's the here's his comments on Cruz not winning any state for the next month, just like Trump didn't.
Otherwise, if he comes in behind John Kasich, it'll be pretty bad.
Yeah.
You know, the story 2 weeks ago was that he had won Wisconsin by 13 points. And the story the other day is he won the Wyoming caucus. And the story is he's been fiddling and getting delegates here and there. But, you know, the problem for Cruz is he's not going to win any states for the next month.
Right.
And it's conceivable that he won't win the states that he's supposed to win, like Indiana and Nebraska. And you could have a situation in which he's winning hundreds of delegates, gets to June 7th when California happens, Trump wins the popular vote in California and they all split the delegates. His argument from June 7th to July 21st when the convention starts is, I'm the guy to unite the party and go forward, when he will have won 14, 15 states and Trump will have won 30,
and lost,
33.
And lost John Kasich in some of the big later states.
Well, if that happens, we don't know if that's happening.
So can you answer
Cruz has a real problem. If he wants to make the argument that he is the consensus candidate of the Republican Party, he has to win votes from here on in. This argument only serves a coalesce because he won a primary in a major state, in a major Midwestern state, and and obviously the calendar got bad for him.
Right.
This is pretty bad. I mean, granted, he was sort of baked in the cake because he said the New York values thing,
but Pennsylvania,
he should be getting 30% of the vote there. I'm sorry.
New Jersey, you go through all of them, and he's not doing well. Well, we've been asking.
All right, so you can't unify the party if you're not doing well. I mean, that goes without saying. Ted Cruz is I think his shortcoming is he's a very smart guy, good speaker, but he's very smug and very self-righteous, and that turns a lot of people off. All right, here we go. Peter King, I'd endorse Kasich if he had a shot, and this is the representative from New York.
Republican Congressman Peter King of New York.
He loves him.
Congressman, congratulations on your new chairman position. Here's actually a quote from Congressman King about Ted Cruz. Any New Yorker who even thinks of voting for Ted Cruz should have their head examined.
Okay, well, this is a little turnabout.
So what happens tonight on the Republican side? How big does Donald Trump win?
Well, first of all, in case anybody gets confused, I am not endorsing Ted Cruz. I hate Ted Cruz. And I think I'll take cyanide if he ever got the nomination. Now, having said that, I think you're going to see Donald Trump scoring a big victory tonight. I've not endorsed Donald Trump.
All right. I hate Ted Cruz, and I take cyanide if he wins. All right. Sean Trend here, who's actually been on the show before. He's one of the founders of Real Clear Politics. He came on a couple of years ago. I can't remember the topic, but a real nice guy. He's from Yale. Any rule change will be under the media microscope. Well, let's do this. It's obvious. If there's any rule changes at the Republican National Convention, they will be under a microscope. Let's take a break here and come back and get into weird news, because Mark D'Antoni is coming on, and he is, I think, in a fury over how he was treated on the radio. Of course, when you do an Oh Call No show, then you leave it up to others to what the discussion will be about. But anyway, we'll be right back. 6:39 a.m. Las Cruces, 1450 KOBE, 523-1450 to call in, and 805-6180 to text. And we always love Mark around here, but we'll be right back.
See my face in the light, on my name, I'm walking well down on Broadway. Even if it ain't all it seems, I got a pocket full of dreams, baby, I'm New York. My feet jump away, dreams of fate. If nothing you can't do, now you're in New
All right, so we've got weird news here for you. NBC Connecticut, two arrested after dispute. Well, let me play this for you first here. Check this little foreshadowing out here.
We've got crap legs. We've got crap legs. We've got so.
who's got crab legs. All right, I'll tell you who doesn't. Two arrested after dispute over crab legs turns violent. 21-year-old man was punched in the face and lost a tooth in the dispute. And it's Manchester, Connecticut, a husband and wife. A husband and wife. Clifford Knight and Latoya Knight, both of Windsor. And they went to the area in the Royal Buffet where the crab legs were stored. And there was a confrontation. And police were called to 410 West Middle Turnpike for a dispute as an argument over crab legs at the buffet table escalated into a physical confrontation. And during the scuffle, 21-year-old man was punched in the face and he lost a tooth over a crab leg. Are you kidding me? They must have been very delicious. The man's mother, fortunately, was right behind him and she jumped in and, pulled out her pepper spray and sprayed down her son's attackers, the married couple who were willing to fight to the death over crab legs. And so police arrested Clifford Knight and Latoya Knight. And Clifford Knight is charged with third degree assault in disorder conduct, which I believe they meant as disorderly conduct. Now, Latoya Knight is charged with disorderly conduct and threatening. So she might have picked up a crab leg and brandished it. So anyway, Cliff Knight was released on a $5,000 non-surety bond, and Latoya Knight, $2,500. So I don't know. Was it worth it? I guess it depends on what they taste like. Here is a story from the San Francisco Gate about our own governor. And our own governor has an interest in DUI laws, and social media will broadcast lenient DUI sentences. So if a judge in New Mexico gets too lenient on an offender who has been pulled over for or convicted of drunk driving, then the state is going to, Susana Martinez is going to use social media to shame these people into going along with the program. You know what I mean? So, all right, let's reload here and I'm going to come back and tell you about, oh, wait a minute. I got to get to this story here, which is very important. Very timely, very important. And this particular story is titled Roach Infested Apartment Explodes. Roaches, as they do, the roaches lived on. The people were their wits end, but the roaches made it. And it was at Asbury Park, which didn't Bruce Springsteen didn't he sing about that? You had everything that you needed for a blow up. And three people, including a toddler, were taken to a hospital after an overzealous attempt to spray cockroaches. It caused an explosion. And it sounds very serious to me. All right, here's from the Asbury Press.
A severe cockroach infestation turned into something far more serious when a buildup of fumes from a roach-killing aerosol spray triggered an explosion that blew out the windows of this first-floor apartment in Asbury Park. The occupants of the apartment, two adults and a young child, were taken to the hospital as a precaution, but apparently weren't seriously injured. As for the roaches, well, they survived. The Asbury Park code enforcement officer is investigating. A fire official I spoke to today said you have to be really careful when you use a product like this and make sure there's plenty of ventilation. Hire a professional. For the Asbury Park Press and APP.com, I'm Shannon Mullen in Asbury Park.
I think warning people to be careful goes without saying after a story like that. All right, let's take a little break here and come back. We'll talk about the Satanic Temple. TST. Could be TNT, but we'll be right back. 647 Kelly O'Connelly in Las Cruces, 1450 KOBE. 523-1450 to call in and 805-6180-2 text. And we're getting a fuming. Speaking of fumes, we're getting a fuming Mark D'Antonio at the break of the hour. We'll be right back to talk about the Satanic Temple. You feel great. All right, I'm going to set aside the Satanic Temple and just, this is Weird Wednesday, and this Satanic Temple is kind of a political movement, but demon-infested hell house to be exorcised, and you can watch one of the scariest films in history, The Exorcist, was based on a real-life tale from the St. Louis house where 12 priests supposedly rescued Roland Doe, 66, years ago from demonic possession. It's still standing, and supposedly it is still possessed. So here's a little clip from YouTube on this.
Will be made the first ever live televised exorcism exclusively on Destination America. Join the crew of Ghost Asylum as they drive out the demons from the actual house that inspired the movie The Exorcist.
There's a gut going to tell me to get the hell out.
TV's most dangerous night, Exorcism Live, Friday, October 30th at 9, exclusively on Destination America. Fear lives here.
So it's increasingly, I think, an interest of Americans to exorcism and stuff like that, and there's a lot of uptick in Satanism. So I think there's going to be a lot of people watching this. I've got a little from this on this thing. I just got to get this computer to, I don't know. I wish I'd gotten a degree in computer technology so I could work on my own, you know. Anyway, here we go.
Podcast Theater.
Hi, Nikki Tomlin here, and I'm the host of The Message. I'll be following a team of elite cryptographers as they decode a highly classified radio transmission. To sum it up, extraterrestrials. The Message on iTunes.
All right, so I don't think this is... Anyway, well, let's just get into this story. This story involves this house that was taken and this gentleman, Roland Doe, so this guy had come over and, anyway, somebody just burst into the studio. So let me reset here. For this TV show, they say that, this is a quote, the house itself is going to be a totally different process than an exorcism. What we're doing in the show is going through the exorcist house and doing a rite of exorcism. Producer creator Jody Tovey says, when somebody is possessed, you see physical manifestations of it, and it's the same with the house. The house, we believe, is a living, breathing thing, and we're going to see something too when we actually exorcise the house if we're successful. And also along for the ride. And, you know, I do have a, I don't understand how this clip started. So, but they're talking about this hell house exorcism here.
Sometimes there's those moments where you have to believe in something. And in those moments, even if you're not religious, even if you don't.
Here's the hell house exorcism from the guys that are going to be doing this. And sorry for the confusion.
Have faith in anything you
think that there's something out there. You think what ties us all together, what else is there that we don't know about? And that one element that they say ties all religion together, and that's the notion that there's a soul that exists apart from the body. And that's the basis of religion. That's the basis of mysticism, the occult, unexplained phenomena, and science fiction and things that scare us. And it's scary in here in the style closet right now because I have on the stars of Ghost Asylum here. Welcome, folks. Introduce yourselves.
Thank you.
Let's go around from left to right.
All right, I'm Porter. I'm the historian of the Tennessee Wraith Chasers on Ghost Asylum.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is Chris. I'm the founder of the Tennessee Wraith Chasers.
This is Brandon. I'm the inventor of all the weird and wonderful stuff we make.
All right, it's Wraith Chasers, not race. W-R-A-I-T-H.
Back now. We're the second part of the second season?
Correct.
Mm-hmm.
And I just saw the thing that the episode, the premiere of the Fenimore Plantation.
Fenwick,
excuse me.
That's all right. Yeah, that was a good one. You got to see a good one.
There's a headless horseman there.
You can't go wrong.
There's a pirate. There's a secret chamber in this place. And generally, you guys are going into like all these abandoned areas.
Mm-hmm.
Abandoned hospital.
It was a breath of fresh air.
like abandoned hospitals, area, like closed areas, public areas. You investigate for ghosts there. And on the internet, on HuffPost, we know that there is an incredible interest in the areas you investigate. An ungodly, unworldly, otherworldly interest in abandoned stuff. They call it like abandoned porn. If you post photos of a closed down amusement park, a cemetery that's been like lost and rediscovered, anything that any public space, especially something that involves death or something uncomfortable, hospitals that have been closed, insane asylums, photos of places that are closed are just fascinating to the people. And why is that the subject of your show? I mean, what makes it so amazing?
Well, we started out when we started investigating the paranormal. It was mainly like personal things. It was like we would do private homes. People who needed our help would contact us and say, hey, we have something paranormal going on. But when we went into Ghost Asylum, we wanted to kick it up a notch. We wanted to go to these places that are renownedly haunted. We wanted to go to places where there were a lot of suffering that happened back in the day. You know, there were some very traumatic things that happened in these hospitals, these abandoned asylums. And that's what we look for. We look for tragedy. We look for something where these imprints have been left behind, and then we go and try to communicate with anything that could possibly be left there, because we find that the more trauma, the more things that happen in your life, it for some reason leaves an imprint. And it's like that old saying, if the walls could talk, and they talk to us.
You guys with diverse sort of backgrounds that you bring together, history, some areas of mysticism, and you have a background in engineering.
It's actually in physics. I have an associate of science degree in physics, and I try to use any math and science that I can to explain the stuff that goes on. Ever since I was real young, I've always wanted to try to explain what's been going on. I'm a Christian man, actually. You know, I believe that, you know, based on your relationship with a good man, you either go to heaven or hell. But I do believe there's something out there that's not necessarily human soul that's on earth, but maybe something else that can be explained, like angels or demons or something like that.
Angel dust. All right. So that's Hell House Exorcism. And all right. So interesting day today, but you can look up Google Hell House Exorcism and demon. And if you want to find it on Huffington Post, demon infested Hell House to be exorcised, you can watch. All right. So anyway, we're going to reset the table here. We've got Mark D'Antonio in studio. We're going to be talking to him in just a minute, and he's going to straighten us out on some of the things that were said yesterday. And he may have a bone to pick with me. He definitely has a bone to pick with Walt Rubel, who apparently, according to him, took liberties beyond what was reasonable. 659 Kelly O'Connell AM, Las Cruces, 1450 KOBE, 523 1450 to call in, and 805-6180. I was going to say we're going to give away a free physics degree from Phoenix University to the third caller. But so, no, seriously, we'll be right back with Mark D'Antonio.
Heaven just be care, take me down from all of to the frozen bridge.
Well, it's Kelly here. It's Kelly here, and we have Mark D'Antonio in the studio, and also Patrick Purple Hayes has joined him. And are you going to accept that nickname, Patrick? I think. Go ahead. I think that microphone is broken anyway, but people come in and attack these microphones. I don't know. Never figured it out, but try to Brenda press those. Anyway, good morning to you, Mark.
Good morning, Kelly. How are you?
I'm not too bad. Donald Trump had a huge win, and I don't know if you're a Trump backer, but it's exciting days in the political process, and we've got some excitement locally.
Well, for the record, I'm not a Trump supporter.
Well, Hillary's a nice lady, you know, very attractive, well-spoken,
mm-hmm.
has occasional coughing fits,
yes,
et cetera.
I understand all of our issues.
Yes. All right. So you called me. We talked last night, and you said you wanted an hour.
Yes.
And so we got an hour here for you.
I appreciate that very much, Greg. You've always been very accommodating. I appreciate everything you do.
Thank you very much, Mark. I love you, too.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So there was a controversy that came up yesterday, and I've got a clip here, but so no reason to waste time with that. The basic, I think that there's a disagreement here between Mark and Walt, which had to do with, I believe, to quote Walt, Walt said that you had stormed out when you didn't like some of the questions during this interview. I don't know. I wasn't there. I don't know anything about it other than what Walt said. But James Dickens and you were there, your opponent. So you've got, you know, an hour to respond to anything you like or make any statements.
That's very kind of you. Let me first off saying that I respect Walt was right to criticize me or any public official. I spent 4 years in the military to ensure people like Walt Ruppel had the right and continued right to say whatever they want to say whenever they want to say it. I have no ill will towards Mr. Ruppel at all. He has not been a supporter of me since I was elected. The editorial board of the Sun News did not endorse me last election. They have no intention of endorsing me this election. And I want to make it clear that the Sun media portion has been very fair to the office. The reporters have been fair. And I have no complaint with the Sun, the way they report the news. However, the editorial section of the paper has been taking liberties, which I don't think is appropriate. First of all, let me clear the record. At the end of the hour interview, when the question had been answered and Mr. Ruble and his associates were closing up, I felt that the interview was unfair, was biased, as they have demonstrated for the past 4 years. Oh, but that's their prerogative. I want to be clear that that's okay. And I was annoyed, and I basically said, if that's all if there is, then I'm leaving. And I got up and walked out. It wasn't during the interview. I didn't storm out. It was after the interview was over. I turned around and walked out of the building. I didn't raise my voice. I didn't do anything inappropriate. I wasn't rude. I just walked out. Because the questions, for example, the editorial staff of The Sun asked me, time and time again, pointed case-related questions on cases that were not the best in the DA's office. And they asked questions as this. We've heard this, and we found that. We did this. So the questions were not based on facts. They were based on innuendo. And not one time did they ask my opponent any questions case-specific. None. Zero. Matter of fact, except for Walt Ruble, the other two participants asked James Dickens nothing. And okay, that's okay too. I understand that I'm the DA and I could take that, but to come on the air and pretend that I was nervous and maybe not candid is an absolute and complete fabrication. And here's my problem with that. People claim they support the community and that they're doing the job vetting me out so the community has information. Well, as you know, Kelly, I've had many, many town halls where I invite the media and the general public on many issues to come out and talk to me, give me criticism. What can I do better? What am I not doing right? Well, Mr. Ruble has not been to one of my town halls, and there have been at least 10 or 12 of them. Also, I have done many, many community outreach programs. We recently had a Victims Advocate Week in the park. We do many outreach programs where we really help the most vulnerable in our society. Yet Mr. Rubel or the editorial staff of The Sun has never been to not one event. So on one hand, to hide behind a column and take pot shots at me on the radio and take pot shots at me in an editorial without ever giving me an opportunity to respond. Let me give you an example. There was a recent article in the Sun. It was an editorial written by Walt Rubel, where he made certain claims that it didn't answer certain questions in the Barella case. Well, Mr. Rubel never contacted me, and my press officer contacted him and said, what questions do you want answered? None. Do you want to interview Mark? No. The agenda is not the truth. The agenda is just
You think that Walt Rubel has a beef with you and he's carrying it out on the pages of the Sun News?
There's no doubt about it. Because I've never spoken to the man about anything, any issue, except this interview that I had recently and my other interview that I had three or four years ago. So, but let me be clear to my dear audience that's his right, you know what I mean? And so if he could just be honest about his intention. Doesn't like me, doesn't think I'm doing a good job, that's fine. There are plenty of people who think I'm doing a great job. I won last election by a comfortable margin without the Sun's endorsement. So confident that we're doing what's right for the community. And instead of focusing on out of the 1,000 cases we have, instead of focusing on the 3 or 4 that didn't go perfectly or that there was some issue, let's talk about the general perception of what's going on. We're a border city of El Paso, and we have Albuquerque to the north. We have a comparatively very low crime rate. We live in a very safe community. Now, as the chief law officer of Daniela County, I thank the great work that our police officers do, our sheriff's department, LCPD, Hatch Police, Sunland Park Police, Anthony Police, all doing a great job. So for the past 4 years, this has been a very safe community. And I take great pride in that. Also, we have done exemplary work on the behalf of victims and making sure victims get all their rights. We have sponsored events. We've been very careful. We have a super takes care of that as well. So, in addition, what are other cities suffering from? Well, nationally, crime's high, and nationally, there's a low opinion of police officers. Well, here in Las Cruces, I have breakfast with the chiefs of police every month. And I'm proud to say that, as far as I can see, the community has a very good respect for our police officers. There's no odd shootings that happen. There's no violence against citizens. And when there are, in the cases that there have been violence, we've been prosecuting those cases when appropriate. So if you take a pulse of our community, low crime rate, good relation with the police officer, no real controversy, no alleged corruption, and we have, without a doubt, the most transparent state agency that's ever been in Daniela County. To facilitate the press inquiry, since my office has been a magnet for press inquiry, I hired a full-time press who works constantly with the press, you, Kelly, whoever needs me, to answer questions, good or bad, hard or soft. We answer all the questions. Everything I do has a paper trail, and we stick to it, and we answer the questions without hesitation. If someone needs to talk to me, I don't refuse. I never say no comment to anybody. I'm always available to anybody who wants to see me or talk to me. Not only the press, but every meeting I have in the public, I tell the public that, listen, if you had a beef with me, come see me. I'll talk. Anybody's welcome to come to make an appointment to see me. I don't care what your occupation is. I don't care what your plan is. If you're a Republican, God bless you. My family members are Republicans. I have no beef with that. Just be proud to be a Republican. If you're a Democrat, God bless you. I'm a Democrat. Be proud to be a Democrat. But Dick Scully has no place in the DA. And so if people would take a look at the full effect of my office has on our community, I think they find that we're doing a really great job. We continue to do so. We care, and we're transparent and open about what we do.
Oh, appreciate you saying that. We got was about to say Walt Rubel, but Mark D'Antonio on the show today. And we're talking about some comments that were made by Walt Rubel. And 523-1450, if you have a question for Mark or a comment, 805-6180, if you would prefer to text it in on the text machine. And AM Las Cruces 1450 KOBE, Kelly O'Connell. We'll be right back. We're going to get into maybe a little bit more on would you like to respond to some of the things that were stated in that?
This is not a fight between Walt Rubel and I. That's not what it is. This is a citizen, a newspaper reporter who has a right to do what he has to say, and I'm not going to fight with him.
All right. We're going to be right back, folks. Not fighting with Walt Rubel, but disagreeing with, I guess, a lot of stuff he said. We'll be right back. Kelly O'Connell.
Thank you, Kelly.
No problem. Folks, and we'll be right back. Folks, 7:21, and we have Mark D'Antonio in the studio, and unhappy with some of the descriptions from yesterday with Walt Rubel, and I really didn't know that much, but I do know that Mark did stand me up on Friday, and which was a very shameful event. What happened, Mark?
Well, just Kelly, unlike you, who lives a life of leisure, doesn't have much responsibility other than this radio program. What a minor criminal caseload. I apologize, but it wasn't done intentionally. Due to the flurry of work, I had a lapse of memory in the morning. I didn't get up, and so that was my fault, and I apologize. But
Ginkgo Baleo.
Yeah, well, to insinuate there was somehow intentional or meant to be disrespectful is completely not the case. I've been on your show many times, supported you, even though your political philosophy is 180 degrees from mine. So I would hope that in your Republican values, there'd be forgiveness in your heart. But if you want to hold the grudge, then please do.
I hope I don't have any Republican values being a conservative, but the Republican Party is in full free fall. All right. So, Mark, unhappy with Walt Rubel's depiction that you had stormed out.
Yeah, Kelly, and you know what? I said my beef about Mr. Rubel. Like I said, I want to reemphasize to the folks out there that I'm just stating what the facts of what happened and the history of us between Mr. Rubel and I. That's a fact. He's admitted to my press officer that he knows very little about the criminal justice system. But I'm sure he's an expert at what he does. So that's all I have to say. There's no war between us. There's no controversy. As far as I'm concerned, this issue is dropped. he said his piece, I said mine, and I'm going to move on to serve the people of Dyna County.
All right. Well, I mean, but that speaks highly of Mr. Rubel if he doesn't know much about the criminal justice system. Means he's not a lawbreaker.
Yeah, I guess that's right. And I have no disparaging remarks about it. I'm sure he's a great citizen of Dyna County. I'm sure he cares about his community. Like I said, I'm not disparaging at all the Sun News. They have a tough job. They do a good job. And the reporters who interview me are always respectful and kind. And their report and reporting, I think, is fair and balanced.
All right. And you don't want to respond to anything that was said during this interview that you, you felt like you're kind of bushwhacked or?
No, I appreciate the opportunity you give me. But, you know, we have issues in Dyna County. The DA is a position as a full-time job. If I start to, you know, hold grudges and pick a fight with everybody who disagrees with me, I'd be here all day. We have some really important work to do, and we've done some really good work in this community. Now, people think your folks out there who are uneducated or maybe not familiar with the criminal justice system thinks the DA goes into court every day and tries cases. Well, that's what prosecutors do. I'm preaching to the choir, but you know this, and I'll pretend that you don't know this. But prosecutors are not just people who go to court every day. Prosecutors are managers, and they are policymakers. Now, I learned, you know, leadership skills in the military, and then out of the military went in the FBI. And I carried a gun, and I arrested people, and I put handcuffs on people. So I know what it's like to look at a situation from a law enforcement, a gun-carrying law enforcement point of view. And that's I know how reports are written. I know what needs to be in the reports. So I deal very well with the police officers here in Dyna County. During our monthly chief breakfasts, we talk about issues that I can relate to because I've been there. I carried a badge and a gun. Next thing is that policy is very important. A DA sets the tone for law enforcement in a given community here, such as Dyna County. Now, for 10 years, what I did in the Department of Justice under Janet Reno was to initiate, research, implement policy relating to anti-terrorism and counterintelligence. So, now, here in Dyna County, if we ever encounter a terrorist issue, God forbid, I don't believe there's another person in this community that would know the basic format of how terrorism works, how to combat it, what policies need to be implemented. Now, we all understand that terrorism is a federal point of view. Like I said, God forbid, you know, deal with terrorism. So that's from the policymaking point of view. That's very important.
What policies have you implemented to help fight against terrorism?
Well there's none right now because none needed. But if that case arises, then I'm ready. But the policies that I have initiated are drastically different than the policies of my predecessors. For example, we believe that everybody comes before the court has rights. You know, the DA has to be care about the victim's rights to make sure that the victim is fully vetted and all their concerns are answered. But also, I have a duty to make sure that defendants' rights are also constitutionally upheld. So it's a balancing act. I don't believe that going to trial is the be end of all things. People complain sometimes. I hear my opponent who is just basically a rubber stamp of Susana Martinez and Amy Orlando. He was their chief, and I hear him say that, oh, we got to go to trial more often. We got to do trial. But listen, here's how the case goes. And Kelly, again, this is for your audience, not for you. When you have a young woman raped, and the mother and the daughter beg the DA, which is me, please don't make my daughter testify. Please don't make my daughter have to relive the horrible events that led to this prosecution. Do whatever you can to prevent that. Okay, so we get together with defense lawyer and the family and the victims, and we plead the case. That's good for the community, and more importantly, good for the victim. Now, you take that case in isolation. Oh, look, the DA's pled that off, that case out. But we plead certain cases because victims and the people who are involved don't want to put their life and their sex life and what happened on the line. And that's very important. To zealously go ahead and try cases just so I can run to the paper and say, look what I did, give me a gold star, is not what we do. It's exploitation of victims, and I will not do it. In addition, there's a lot of political pressure to take certain cases. And people want to use the DA's office as a bully pulpit. They want to state their claim, and they want to make political agenda. I refuse to do that, never will, and that's a policy I set a long time ago. Because my philosophy has always been that justice, true justice, which means balance and fairness, is what wins the day.
Well, there was a claim that there were some high-profile cases that were mishandled, and I think that's one of the things that Walt had said. Did you want to respond to that?
Yeah. Well, it's absolutely completely false. A case going a certain way does not equal mishandling. Out of 1,000 of cases we have, Kelly, you're a fine attorney yourself. I've seen you in court. You know that if we go by the hundreds of cases you handled, you're going to find one that didn't go your way. I mean, that's the nature of the beast. So anybody, any DA's office, any prosecutor, any lawyer, I don't care whether it be civil, defense lawyer, anybody in the legal justice system, the more experience they have, and I have 35 years of criminal experience and, you know, 12, 15 years of litigation experience. You can pull my 90 trials that I've had in federal court. You can pull the 3,000 or 4,000 or 5,000, 6,000 cases I have handled as a DA in Downey County, and you can cherry pick and you can find 3 or 4 that didn't go right. That's not the way you look at a DA's office. Here's how you look at a DA's office. Am I safe in my community? Does the DA care about victims and what I feel like? Does the DA give me the opportunity to talk back and give him advice on what he's doing right or wrong? Does the DA have a forum for that? Is the DA accessible? Is his office run free of corruption and claims? Don't forget, Kelly, I took over an office that was ripe with shredded documents and tapes and hard drives that went missing. And we know we covered that a couple of years ago and actually wrote a report on that. So here you go. Here you have a candidate against me who's talking smack with statistics that will soon to be proven to be inaccurate. And instead of the editorial board questioning the statistics, they take it as fact and say, okay, what are you doing? Now, I could go by any lawyer and pick out things, cases didn't go well. That's easy to do. It's a political ploy. It's obvious. It's irresponsible. It's politically motivated. And everybody who's in any sense, my last word on this, Kelly, is there's been a judge in our community who's been on the criminal bench for 10 years. You know him very well, Judge Macias. And he has sat through the Susana Martinez administration. He sat through the Amy Arlen administration. And he sat through the D'Antonio administration. Now, as I told the editorial board of the Sun News, if they wanted an unbiased of how justice is now, right now today, compared to what it was 2 and 4 years ago, he'd be the man to ask. And I'm supremely confident that the answer would be that today, Downey County DA is the best it's ever been in the last 2 and 4 years. And that's
right,
a fact.
All right. But I mean, people are going to point out also you're citing someone who by definition can't really,
right,
you know, can't really comment.
No, can't comment publicly. But if you really want the information, you could call him and say, what's the scoop now?
Do you know where he gets a drink in the?
No, I'm not sure of that. I don't really drink, so I don't know.
I'm sure Judge Macias doesn't either. I occasionally see him at Tiffany's restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
He enjoys a good Greek meal. You know, Judge Macias is one of the most urbane. Something I said about you yesterday. You're a very urbane, very polished guy. But Judge Macias is a very worldly guy, and he's very well educated in the East.
Yeah.
Educated in the classics and everything. So I value his opinion.
Well, there's, you know, listen, during an election, we're in the height of election season. And
Wouldn't you say we're in the depths?
Yeah, the depths. That's. I'll take whatever, you know, you if you want to be the wordsmith and spin doc, that's great. I appreciate that because you do a good job. But listening to me, you know, spin the facts as they come. Listen to my opponent spin the facts or listen to anybody
else.
All right.
But listen, I asked Dickens when he came on the show. He came on for a half an hour. When I called you yesterday, I said, let's do a half an hour because I wanted to be fair.
You
said, let's do an hour because I want to respond to this scurrilous information. Why don't we have a debate here or at least a discussion between you and James on the show? And I will let you guys sort it out. And, you know, I will not overly, you know.
Well, under certain parameters, I'd be happy to do that. But it'd have to be a free discussion based on – here's what I object to.
What if it's sponsored by the United Nations?
I don't know. I'm not a big fan of the United Nations, but I know you are. Because your multiculturalism is what you profess on the radio.
Tattoo of PC on my left butt cheek.
And you're fair to everybody who's conservative. But I'm joking. What I don't appreciate is the innuendos and I heard this, I heard that. You know what I mean?
We're all familiar with the courtroom. We can call people in hearsay, you know, and we can leave it to facts, and I mean, we can decide ahead of time what the rules are.
Okay.
And no backroom chatter. It's just facts, and
okay, and everything on the table. That you know, give me a couple of weeks, and that sounds good. I think it's really good for the public to have that happen.
Absolutely, and we can do a couple of them if you want. We'll take a break here, and we're talking to Mark D'Antonio, who was kind enough to after getting muddled last Friday with the overwhelming workload that he has and the extraordinary, I would assume also your humanitarian labors also cut into radio time.
My humanitarian labors have cut into your time. So I guess that's equal. Yeah,
anyway,
that's right.
Anyway, 7:35 got to Mark here. Always a good guest. And we've got Patrick Purple Hayes as well. AM Las Cruces, 1450 KOBE. Kelly O'Connell, 523-1450 to call in and 805-61802 text. We'll be right back. Hey, it's Kelly. Hello, Kelly here. Hello. It's Kelly. Hello, it's Kelly. Are you there? Hey, it's Kelly. Can you hear me? It's Kelly. Can you hear me? Hold on just a second. Hey, it's Kelly. Who's this? Call me 575-496-6359. Or anyway, I can't hear you. Kelly here, and we've got a caller. Thank you for the call. Can you hear me? Hello, are you there? Trying to press all the buttons here. I don't know what to do, folks, because I cannot hear this guy. So call back on a working phone. All right. So anyway, Mark, we got just a few minutes left here, 20 minutes left, and let's dig into it.
Okay.
All right. So there were some statistics that came out there. All right. So this guy's calling again. Thanks for the call, the Kelly O'Connor Show. Who is this?
This is Kimberly.
Kimberly, did you call three times previously?
I've been trying and it keeps
God
cutting
bless.
Out. I apologize.
God
I don't
bless
know if it's you.
Or me. Kimberly, God bless you for your tenacity. We need more people in this county like that. Good morning to you. Good morning.
Good morning.
The unemployment wouldn't be nearly as high if people had your stick-to-itiveness. What's going on?
I have to say, you know, and let me be very free-speaking that I'm a registered Republican.
Okay.
You know, I've lived in this county for going on 18 years now, and I lived, or should I say suffered, through the, you know, Martinez administration and Miss Orlando, and there's so much media bias nationally, which, contrary to here, you know, Ken Saline, as we all know, liberal, that's a fact, that's everybody
okay.
knows that. But I've watched the newspaper, the Sun News, you know, attack Mr. D'Antonio, who, you know, it's so unfair to read these stories. And you read the headline, which are extremely negative to draw your attention, and then you read the article, and they're actually favorable of the district attorney's office. So my question is, it seems to me that Governor Martinez runs the Sun News. And I'd like to ask Mr. D'Antonio, that do you think a lot of the backlash that you're getting from Mr. Rubel, who is way out of line and inappropriate for someone in the news business, in my opinion, do you think the backlash of you taking on the governor, taking on Ms. Orlando, who had been entrenched here since I've lived here 18 mm-hmm. years, and going after officials in the county, which was politically to your disadvantage, really, do you think that's affecting the way the Sun News is treating you? Because that's certainly how I think.
Yeah, okay. Go ahead, Mark.
I appreciate the call, ma'am. And I must say, I don't think that the Sun News is biased against me. In the general news department, Carlos, the reporter who works the law enforcement criminal beat, he's a young reporter, does a fine job. He's interviewed me many times. He's always asking my opinion. He's always gotten the facts to my office before he writes a story. I think he's doing a great job. Sometimes the headline's a little bit, maybe a little bit suspect, but I believe that's just an effort to, you know, draw people's attention to the story. I don't believe there's an overall bias at the Sun. As a matter of fact, especially in the last year, I think the Sun has given the programs we have and our community service a lot of good press. They've been an ally to helping the community. I certainly don't believe that Governor Martinez runs the paper or has any undue influence. And I want to be clear about that, and thank you very much for your phone call. I appreciate your support, but I don't want to I just have a beef with the editorial staff who doesn't ask me for interviews or questions or comments. Before writing articles or coming on the radio during a political season.
Kimberly, what was your name again?
Kimberly.
I've got another call. Thanks for the call. Excellent call. Thank you for the call to the Kelly O'Connell Show. Who's this?
This is Richard Borrella, Kelly. How are you doing?
Good. Is this Chris?
No, Richard Borrella.
I'm sorry, Richard. How's it going? And are you still out? You were out off of Amador, right?
Well, no, actually, I'm homeless. I live in my van. So
okay.
I sleep in Walmart parking lots.
Well, that's, always open 24 hours. That's very convenient. So what's going on?
No, just giving you a call. I really don't listen to your show. What's the topic right now?
Are you serious?
I'm deadly serious. I've been doing research, remember?
Oh, okay.
I don't have time to listen to your show. I'm sorry.
Thank you for calling in. We're interviewing Mark D'Antonio. Thanks for the call, Richard, and hang in there. Have a great day. All right, folks, if you call in, know what's – be listening. I think that would be a fair request.
I think that's fair.
All right, so let's take a little break here. I've got a dedication to Walt Rubel. Don't let the Sun News go down on me. And we'll be We got Mark D'Antonio on here. We'll be right back. 7:45 a.m. Las Cruces, 1450 KOBE. Love you. Love you, Richard. I know you're not listening, but Kelly O'Connor, 523-1450 and 805-6180. We'll be right back.
I can't lie no more of your darkness. All my pictures seem to fade to black and white.
All right, so we've got a little more interview here with Mark D'Antonio. And Mark, so you found a supporter there in Kimberly, and, you know.
Yeah, I appreciate her comments. I don't necessarily agree with them, but she had the courage to say it, so I do appreciate it.
Okay, so we'll get a show together with you and James Dickens, and we can agree ahead of time what the parameters will be, and we'll hang to that. In the meantime, what positive things do you want people to remember about the DA's office? And I know you've talked about what you've described as the paper shredding and a culture of secrecy, and you've mentioned before cases that were left in closets and stuff like that for years. But what are you proudest of at the DA's office?
Well, I'm proudest every day I wake up that we are doing justice. We're not trying to grab political headlines. We're not trying to find Bibiana cases to exploit victims. We are doing what's right and what's just. If we make a mistake along the way, like people do, like I have done, it's done with an eye towards doing what's right. That is the big difference. We went from a DA's office full of secrecy and hush. You know, the past administration didn't even allow and share information with the department that runs the DA's office. They were running on the same servers. As soon as I became the DA, we were open, honest, nothing to hide, nothing to shred, no hard drives to burn and destroy, no shutting off the cameras in the office 2 weeks before I took office, no trying to hide grant money and stuff from a community that needs it. So we really changed the culture of the office and been responsive to the community. Let me give you one example. Recently, a couple of Saturdays ago, we celebrated Victim Rights Week, and we had 46 nonprofits and organizations support that. It was a huge event. Hundreds of people came. We walked victims in solidarity, hand in hand. Speeches were given. The community was brought together. We had programs and outreach for people who had wanted information about domestic violence or violence against women. And that's what the DA does. But the DA office, we have been totally and completely proactive. How can we prevent crime?
Well, I get you. I get you. No problem here. We've got a phone call. Thanks for the call to Kelly O'Connell's show. Who's this?
Yeah, hey, Coach Walt.
Walt, how's it going? And feel free to weigh in here. But folks, it's Walt Rubel, who was on the show yesterday. He's our friend of the show, comes on a weekly basis to discuss things. And thanks for calling in, Walt.
I just wanted to make a couple of points. First of all, Mark's description of the meeting was accurate. If the term stormed out was overly harsh, then I take that back. He did express his displeasure with the questioning, and he did leave before we had wrapped up, but we were at the end of the questioning. And I guess the main thing I wanted to say is that every time we invite politicians into our office, I understand that is an imposition on them. And you know, I've been doing these for 13 or 14 years now here in Las Cruces, and I try very hard to set a professional tone and to allow everybody to be heard. And I'm very sorry that it ended the way it did and that Mr. Antonio
D'Antonio feels the way he did about it, because I do, you know, make every attempt to run those as fairly as I can. And, it does concern me when people don't feel like they were given a fair shot. And so, I'll take that to heart, and we'll move forward.
Mark?
Well, I think it was ambitious. I'm very clear that there's no ill will. I don't think he was being purposely. Matter of fact, let me be equally as honest. Mr. Rubledon's interview was extremely appalling to me, and in some cases defended. I'm Mr. Rubledon, because I don't want any bad blood between us two. I want him to do his job effectively. We can't agree on politics, or if we can't be friends, and or he doesn't want me to be the DA, I stand by his absolute right to do that. And so, as far as I'm concerned, I'm very flattered. He called in. He was very gracious, and I'm going to return the favor and call this issue closed.
All right. I just want to say one thing, though. I could know Walt now, having had Joe a number of times. I would be surprised if his position was that he doesn't want you to be the DA. Walt, I don't mean to speak for you, but that's my take.
Well, one of the things people understand about our endorsements is there are three people on the editorial board. I know I write them. A lot of people look at it as only me. But of the three people, one is my boss and the other one is her boss. So, it is always a joint decision every time we do these. We have endorsed Steve Pierce twice since I've been here. That doesn't conform with my thinking politically. I will say that in the last election, for what it's worth, I don't remember that we endorsed Amy, but I do remember that I voted for Mark. So,
that's pretty brave right there. I mean, he voted for you. You can't get more.
Like I said, you moved my heart today, because I know it's hard to get on the. I appreciate that. Thank you very much, and I hope from this point we can be friends, and you can do your job effectively, and I can do mine. I appreciate it.
Could we get a hug between you guys on cam?
If he was here, I'd hug him.
That's touching. Right, Walt, Kelly. Anything else?
Have a good show, guys.
Thanks. Thank you. All right, we've got another call. Thanks for the call, the Kelly O'Connor Show. Who's this? Thomas, good morning to you. Hope you're well. Thanks for the call. What's up?
Well, I was just listening in and appreciative of the dialogue between the DA there and Walt. And in particular, I wish we could have more of that in this county. There seems to be a lot of childishness and nitpicking and partisanship. And here you have two guys that at times have different perspectives, and they're treating each other with respect. They're treating each other professionally. And I just wish that Doñana County could grow up and become a county that's concerned for the citizenry and get over this partisanship and all of this bickering and nitpicking and all this sort of stuff. But thank you, Mr. D'Antonio and Walt as well.
Thanks, Thomas. That good call. All right. So, unfortunately, the nitpicking is only going to get worse. There's a national lice infestation. So.
Well, no, I very much appreciate what that caller said, and I totally, completely agree. It's time for the citizens of Doñana County to come together. It's time for Republicans to come together with Republicans and Democrats to come against with Democrats, air their views in a polite, competent manner. You know, discuss issues, disagree, and go away friends. I think it serves our political system better. We do, and it serves our community better. We don't need, debating where we're calling each other jerks and stuff like that, like we've seen recently.
I'm going to read between the lines here. I'm going to call for a quorum on here between Kiki and Billy Golden Earring Garrett.
Well, I think both men, I'm the sheriff, and I know both men very well, and I think they're looking for a way to bridge the gap between them. They're both intelligent. They're both men of integrity, And not only the Kiki and Billy, but also just every politician. You know, be proud to be a Democrat, be proud to be a Republican, whatever you are. Do whatever you can to, with an honesty and fairness to get your view, of course, and let's move on and serve the people of Daniel County.
Let's do it. Okay, so we've got at least one, maybe a couple of little discussions between Mark and James on the show when we get the rules put together. Kiki, I know you're listening, and Billy, I know you're listening. Let's get it together here. Let's have a love fest. Let's get on the show and let's patch up this bridge over troubled waters.
Well, this is not directed towards either Mr. Garrett or our sheriff, but let's just all be professional. Make sure our facts are correct and put an honest day's work and serve the people of Daniel County. That's really what's important.
That sounds good to me. And I've got a couple of texts here. I appreciate Mr. D'Antonio coming on your program. I've always learned new things from hearing him speak. Now that he mentions that part of his job is policy making, can he please tell the listeners where the policy of municipality, county, or state being a sanctuary city derives from? How does it happen? It seems troubling. So, we got very little time here. How about if we bring that up the next time?
Yes, yeah, so I'll be happy to talk. That's outside of my purview, but I'll be happy to talk about it.
Ken Miyagashima may want to come on here. Speaking of patching up bridges over troubled waters, get on here, Ken. I know you're sitting at home with a cigarette and a coffee and a donut.
Hey, thank you, Kelly, for letting me give me the opportunity today. I really appreciate it.
Great to have you on, as always, Mark. And we've got a little dedication here to Walt, to Mark D'Antonio. Don't let the Sun News go down on me. And we're going to have you back on the show real soon.
Yes, I look forward to it.
Thanks for coming on. 7:59, Kelly O'Connell Show, AM Las Cruces, 1450 KOB, 523, 1450 for tomorrow. Have a great day. Ciao.
Run time, and time stands still before me. Frozen here on the ladder of my life.
Okay,
to save.